All right, this is Wednesday evening. What's the date? 21st of October, 2020. And we're going to look at the mystery of the 144,000. I've touched on this before, but the Lord kind of gave me a little bit more insight, a little bit from the scriptures. So let's look now to Revelation 7. A good drink here. Okay, chapter 7 of Revelation. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, I believe this is the church. A lot of people think, no, it's just the tribes of Israel. But if you take into context that after the Babylonian exile, they were scattered throughout the earth. And I think some of us are going to find out that we may be in some tribe, our lineage, and we just don't know it because they've been scattered everywhere. And anyway, of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtalim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh was sealed 12,000. The tribe of Simeon was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations. Well, this is the same chapter. This is the same chapter. Of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these, which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" And I said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said to me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." It's not the nation of Israel. It may be, you know, they may be part of this, those that are born again, but they won't accept their Messiah till they see him physically. See, they're that bunch that the Show Me State, is that Missouri? They're of the Show Me, prove it, and then I'll believe. Show me a sign. "Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living waters, living fountains of waters, and shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." So to me, that just sounds like, wow. Okay. Right here, the word sealed means to stamp with a signet or a private mark for security or preservation, which is quite obvious. There's destruction coming. It talked about burning the trees and stuff. I'm thinking, sounds like the fires in California and in Colorado and different places. But these angels were fixing to, it says here, verse 2, And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. And these four angels is also mentioned in the ones in the Euphrates. So they were going to hurt the earth and the sea and the trees. But he told him, don't do it until we've sealed the 144,000. Okay, so to stamp with a signet or private mark, like a, you know, a ring, for security or preservation, literally or figuratively, by implication, to keep secret, to attest. A test means to provide or seen as a clear evidence of, be witness to, or certify formally. So we're going to be known by the seal whose we belong to. Okay? All right, now let's go over to Revelation chapter 14. And I looked, verse 1, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. This doesn't qualify for Israel. I'm talking the natural nation of Israel. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Okay, disqualifying. Father's name is written in their foreheads, just like we saw in chapter 7. It said sealed in their foreheads. Okay. All right. Now we're going to look at some scriptures in the epistles. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Says, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Sealed us. Okay. With that, let's turn to Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I don't think the seal can go to anyone but the blood bought. Okay, Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. We also saw where we're redeemed from the earth and from among men. That word redeemed there means purchased. Purchased. God didn't purchase Israel, did he? No, the Lamb purchased us. He is the one that paid the price and purchased us. We were slaves to Satan and his narrative after the fall. Okay, redeemed here is Galatians 3:13-14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I don't know that I may have written this down as we go on the teaching, but I can't help but go back to the fact that It just slipped my mind. Just a minute, let me look. Okay, we'll come back. The Holy Spirit will bring it back to me. Just flew right out. It's about being redeemed. Let me read this again. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Through Jesus Christ we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Okay. Another thing about these 144,000, they are virgins. I looked up the word virgins. It means unknown maiden. An unknown maiden. Well, that tells me they're not defiled. They haven't gone against God's way. Because if you notice, especially through the Old Covenant and even the New Covenant, when God would talk about Israel and when they would go a-whoring after other gods, he looked at it as adultery. They were not virgins. They were polluted because of the idols. They wouldn't worship the idols of the lands around them. Okay, being the first fruits. Strong says first fruits means a beginning of sacrifice. Okay, we're going to look at a few scriptures with that word in it. This is Romans 8:23. I really believe, and I know, you know, it's been proved to me that Scripture interprets Scripture. You can't just take a Scripture and just say, okay, this is, you take just that Scripture. I think there's going to be other things in it that proves it out, and that's what I try to do. When there's a word in a Scripture, I try to find every Scripture I can find in the Word of God, especially in the New Testament, on that word, to try to bring clarity to the one scripture that I'm trying to understand. It's just a good way to study. All right, Romans 8:23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So this first fruit is like a taste of what will be. We have a taste of the Spirit, but there'll be a time where we'll be totally like Jesus. Yeah. All right, 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So what happened with Adam? He sealed our fate until Jesus came and he sacrificed. He became Adam, he became us and died. So that we don't have to. Okay. All right, let me keep reading here. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. I kind of feel like that's what's happening here with what's going on and the swamp being drained. It's like all evil has to be annihilated, wiped out. It's not going to be any of this riding the fence. There's not going to be any of this anti-God anything. It's going to be this way, or there's a pit over there, or like a fire over there, you can join there. I mean, I'm talking about those that have gone against God and everything that is God. I'm not talking about somebody that they maybe don't know, but I'm talking about these that have been hard after evil and served Satan with everything in them. A lot of them, maybe they can't be turned. I heard someone say this last week because someone asked him a question. Do you think that there's no hope for them? And he did say something. It made a lot of sense. He said, well, the scripture, you know, says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that doesn't sound like he's X'd them out. But I do know it does talk about those with the mark, you know. So we can't count anybody out. You know, there's a possibility that it's like this Hunter Biden. It's kind of appearing that, oh, he's horrible. He really is. He's bad. But he was trafficked as a child. And it indicates that he turned all this over to frame his dad, to get back at him for what he did to him as a child. He got thrown into a lifestyle that he didn't choose that as a child. And there's going to be many like that. And from this person talking about the type of crack cocaine addict that he is, there is no recovering unless God touches him. In the natural, he can't be recovered. He's so bad. And just looking at the pictures of this man, you just see someone that is just like the walking dead. And I felt so sorry for him, even though he's done heinous things. So that's someone really needs to be prayed for. Okay, James 1:18. You just don't know where they've come from. A lot of them there, it's generational evil. It's like these pedophiles, these elites, their satanic sacrifice. They sacrifice children. They terrorize them and drain their blood and drink it and eat the child. Horrible, horrible, heinous stuff. But how many of them, their parents was in it? And then their parents were in it, going generations back. It's sad. I am so thankful to God. I say, Lord, I'm so thankful that you protected all of us as children. We used to, on Halloween as kids, we'd run the streets till 10 o'clock at night. Parents wasn't with us. I'm just thankful. So thankful the Lord, he protected us. Because there's so many that have not been. And I don't, anyway. All right, we must have had somebody back in our families praying. For sure. James 1:18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. No guile was found in their mouth, and they were without guilt. Guile here means deceitful. Deceit means to deceive. You're not of a nature that you are blatantly going about to deceive. Okay. All right, let's look at 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judged righteously. Okay, 1 Peter 3:8. It says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion on one another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I want to say something about our soon-to-be Supreme Court Justice. There was a blind woman that gave a testimony concerning Amy Coney Barrett. And this is when she was teaching at Notre Dame. This woman's legally, I mean, she's totally blind. And it was kind of neat. She had this keyboard, and it's Braille. She's doing this, and she's doing her speech. I mean, she's just going back and forth. It's amazing. And she's very intelligent woman. And she was talking about how the problem she had in college and people helping her and what an obstacle it was being blind the way she was. And she talked about that this woman was the kindest person that she's ever met in her life, and how she went to great lengths not to just refer her to some agency that's a bunch of red tape, might take her months. She personally took her under her wing and saw that she got what she needed. And now she's a clerk in the Supreme Court, this blind woman. And she's giving that testimony about God's handmaid. This woman is so impeccable in her answers and things. It's been just exactly the way we prayed, that she would just be like in the lion's den, and her wisdom, her calm, would just, those lunatic, you know, senators on the left that are just horrible, mean, nasty. It's like they don't have anything to say. They know their goose is cooked. She's going to be the next judge, whether they like it or not. But God answered that prayer. But this woman, it's like she was with such peace, not rattled, not taken back, so well-versed in the law and the questions that were asked her. It was like, whoa. I mean, it's something for your professor to say, she's the most outstanding student I have ever had. She's truly a handmaid of the Lord. And her decor, her demeanor, and everything about her. And that's the way we reflect Jesus. That even the bad people can't say anything bad about her. There's nothing to say but praise. Okay, Revelation chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. I'm so looking forward to that day. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. I was thinking this week, the Lord brought a memory back to me, and it just caused something to rise up in me about the simple fact that there have been people that I've heard talk about that work in these underground, these dumps, and they are dealing with Nephilim. They're demon entities. They are, and how they are sworn, they have to give an oath that not even use the name of Jesus in cursing, because it causes these interdimensionals grievous pain. They can't, it just hurts them so bad. And I got to thinking about that. I thought, I take great pleasure in tormenting you every way I can. I mean, it was just like it just dropped on me. Use the word like a knife. I mean, really. Great pain just hearing the name of Jesus. Reading the word of God. Using our weapons. If we could really see how using the Word of God as our weapons of our warfare and what it does to them, we'd never hang our head in defeat. Oh, I don't know. It just brought joy to me. I thought, ooh, I love it. I love it. Take that. They can't take it. I just take pleasure in giving them pain. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years are finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. We are partaking of this. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now look at that. They did not receive his mark upon their foreheads or on their hands. In other words, they woke up. They began to see the truth and they began to come out. He said, I'm not doing that anymore. Thank God, I'm not under your system anymore. I'm coming out from under your system. Thank God he's doing a reset. So we can come out. This bunch rules with Christ for 1,000 years on earth. They are an elite bunch. You talk about the elites. The president says, they say they're the elites. You're the super elites. I like the way that man talks. He talks kingdom. He says it all the time. He knows. They are seated on thrones and judging. We also see martyrs revived, and they will also reign 1,000 years. This is called the first resurrection. On these, the power of death no longer has any hold on them. They are like Jesus. No resurrection for the rest of the dead until after the 1,000-year reign. Those that died previous generations, it'll be after the 1,000-year reign. For the faithful, it appears to me, based on these scriptures, that God resurrects them so they can reign for the 1,000 years as their reward. I am totally convinced the 144,000 are the army of the Lord. The virgins that woke up had their lamps trimmed and are doing the Master's business. Here are some other proofs. We're going to look at some others. Let's see, chapter 21 of Revelation. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. You know, if somebody comes to you and wants to start in on the rapture and all this mess, you could use this and say, well, why would he be going to make a new heaven and a new earth if he wants to catch us away to heaven and that's our home and that's where we're going to stay? Why this up-down stuff? I don't understand that. It's not scriptural. All right, the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Didn't he say that where we just read? About wiping the tears from their eyes, talking about the 144,000. No crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone clear as crystal. Now this is symbolic. And had a wall great and high, had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. He that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth, and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. The building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth a sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the eighth chrysolite, the eighth the beryl, the ninth the topaz, the tenth chrysopras, the 11th the jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it was transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb were the temple of it. Are we the temple of the Holy Ghost? And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the lamp is the light thereof. You know, we're the city on a hill. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Okay, I've wrote a scripture here, John 6:29. We'll look at that right quick because I'm not sure. 6:29. Well, I don't know. Let me see if it was 39. Well, I don't know why I wrote it there, so we'll move on. Okay, let's continue with 22. Just the first six verses. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, we've already talked about there, the tree of life was in Eden. Okay? And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Okay. We're going to look at, kind of break down what we just read here in Revelation 21 and 22. The first scripture I want to look at is 1 Peter 2:5. We are a spiritual house. Ye also are lively stones, or built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. All right. Okay, now with that, let's go to 1 Corinthians 6:19. We are the temple. Now, in context, he's talking about fornication, and he's talking about our bodies. And he's saying here, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? So we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are also living stones. This is 1 Peter 2. I read that, but I didn't read all of it, so let's go back to 1 Peter. I should have combined that. 1 Peter 5:2-5 through 10. You're also lively stones, or built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed is the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So, whether it's a literal city or it's symbolic of the body of Christ, I don't know. We are the real Jews. That'd rankle a lot of feathers in some company. Me no care. All right, Romans 2:25. It's about time the truth about Israel comes out. The real truth. Okay? Romans 2:25. For circumcision, verily, profiteth if you keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his circumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision doth transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. Okay, we are the real Jews. Jesus is the cornerstone. I want to look at a few scriptures on that. Of this building. He's our foundation. He's our cornerstone. Okay, the first one is Psalms 118:22. We just read that in the New Testament or the epistles. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. You know what? They can spout their blasphemies and they can say all the things that they say about conservatives and Christians and those who trust God and say they want God out of everything. But the very one they reject, it's going to become the head of the corner. Makes me want to laugh. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2. You know, the ones of today are no different than the ones in Jesus' day. Same bunch, same devil behind it. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners. Now remember Revelation 21 that I read to you as I read this. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now it made the 12 apostles of the Lamb and the 12 tribes of Israel. Upon the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an inhabitation of God through the Spirit. You see the parallel between the New Jerusalem, the bride, the Lamb's wife, and us. Sounds the same. Okay, now Romans 9. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Let's flip back a page to 8:14. This is fitting. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Talks about us being heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Okay. All right, Isaiah 28:16. Tell you one thing, you learn your scriptures flipping back and forth. Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. All right, back to 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Then it goes on to talk about what we've already read about your living stones. Built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. If you'll remember in Daniel, in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, the statue, the gold, you know, head of gold and the shoulders of brass and on down, at the very end, the ten toes of clay and iron that were not real stable, it's our time, not real stable, there was a stone that crushed it. That stone crushed it. That stone was Christ. It was the rock that followed Moses and the children of Israel in the wilderness. That rock that the water came out of. Yeah. All right, you can follow that rock all through. In fact, I heard a teaching on it, and it was quite interesting about this stone is what Jacob laid his head on when he went to sleep and he saw the angels up and down the ladder. And from that time, they carried that stone with them, and every sovereign was coronated on that stone. And how these different tribes that had been scattered, you know, that are true Jews, that have been scattered, Ireland, Scotland, they'd try to steal that stone. You know, England got a hold of the stone, and they're not in the lineage. You know, it is interesting. But we have a presence in the line of Judah two times. He descends from the tribe of Judah on his mother's and his father's side. It's very interesting. I thought, wow. Yeah. Okay. Job 38. Now you know why he's been chosen. This man's known all his life. You know, he is an exceptional man, that's for sure. All right. Job 38:4. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? And who laid the cornerstone thereof? That's the Lord. He did it. There wasn't no big bang, I can tell you that. All right, Jeremiah 51. 51:26. And they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but thou shalt be desolate forever, saith the Lord. In other words, if your foundation's not in me, you won't ever have a foundation. All right, Acts 4. Verse 10. This is Peter. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I do not believe that the number 144,000 is about 144,000 individuals. But it is the description of the Lamb's wife, the New Jerusalem, which we are. All right, let's go to Revelation 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. The foundation of the city is based on the apostles and prophets. All right, one more scripture here. Or passage. This is Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There is no partition anymore. It's sure been made to think that way, that the Jews were exalted above anything and everything, the natural Jews. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. Now, that's what's been pushed on us, but that's not what it says. It says that partition's been broken down. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained ordinances, for to make in himself one new man, so making peace. So a Jew that becomes a Christian is no longer a Jew. He is a spiritual Jew. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. The Bible is a spiritual book, and it must be spiritually discerned, especially the book of Revelation. There's lots of symbology in it. Lots. And that's why I believe that it's been so misinterpreted, because everybody thinks it's literal. And I'm not saying there's not some literal, but this was a vision. And we learned last week, it is a prophecy. And what do you do with prophecies? You're, well, I wonder what that means. It's like a puzzle. It's like a parable. Like Jesus used parables. Okay.